Welcome to this Ufula audio production of The Lone Ranger Rides by Fran Stryker, Volume 6, Chapter 17, Penelope Signs Her Name. Yuma swept the poker table aside and sent it clattering and crashing against the wall. The Lone Ranger had no chance to deny the accusation the man from Arizona hurled. Anything he said would have fallen on unhearing ears. Yuma ignored his guns and lowered his head, charging like an infuriated bull. He swept down the aisle between the bunks and gathered power and speed as he advanced. The masked man had no chance to dodge, no place to dodge to. He was trapped between the bunks on each side of the narrow space down which the cowboy rushed. His gun half drawn, he dropped it back in leather. Nothing but a death slug would stop Yuma now. He was blind to any threat of shooting. Then Yuma struck with the force of a battering ram. The Lone Ranger staggered back from the terrific impact of the heavy shoulder flush against his chest. Intense pain stabbed his own banded shoulder, and brilliant lights seemed to dance before his eyes. He barely saw the huge, bald fist that Yuma swung to follow up his charge. Almost without thought, the Lone Ranger turned his head quickly to roll it with the punch and take a glancing blow instead of what might have smashed his jaw. He fell back several paces, fighting to stay on his feet until his reeling senses could function coherently. Yuma's face was livid. He swung again, bringing his left up almost from the floor. But this time, the masked man dodged the blow, then set himself for a defense. He could barely move his left arm. He thought the wound must have been reopened by that awful onslaught. Yuma was reaching out with both hands, trying to wrap his heavy arms around the lithe Lone Ranger and crush him to the floor. The space was far too limited for such maneuvering, so the masked man let his knees collapse and dropped like a plummet while the adversary clutched at empty air. Then the Lone Ranger shot up from his crouch as if his legs were coiled steel springs. He brought his right fist up with the full, whip-corded strength of his good arm, augmented by the muscles of his legs. His aim was perfect, and his timing likewise. He felt his hard fist crash against the point of Yuma's chin and saw the cowboy's head snap back. Pain and fury had made Yuma careless and too eager. While still off balance from the blow that hurt, he tried to swing a roundhouse left. The Lone Ranger stepped inside the arc of that tremendous swing and jabbed another right to Yuma's nose, then chopped a hard blow to his unprotected jaw. Yuma, it appeared, could take terrific punishment. Those blows of the Lone Ranger were short, but they were hard. Strong men had often dropped before those jabs, but Yuma just kept on fighting, his fist swinging wildly while he kept up a continual string of cursing threats. The Lone Ranger's strength was nearly gone by now. He admired the ability of Yuma to stand up beneath his rain of rights. He dared not use his left and tear that shoulder wound still further. How long, he wondered, in the name of mercy, can this man keep this up? He knew that any one of the wild blows, if it landed true, would knock him out. Then his campaign would end before it had even gotten started. Again and still again, he drove his right fist flush against the big man's face. Blood now streamed from Yuma's nose, and a cut was opened over his right eye. He gave ground now, backing toward the door of the bunkhouse while the Lone Ranger advanced. How long this might have gone on is hard to say, but Yuma backed against the upturned table and lost his balance and fell over backwards. His head smacked hard against the floor. For an instant, Yuma tried to rise. Though totally unconscious, his stout fighter's heart fought on. Then his eyes rolled up and he went limp. Breathing hard, almost gasping, the Lone Ranger crouched beside his fallen enemy. He found that Yuma, though bumped hard, was probably not seriously injured. He opened the door and sucked deep, satisfying drinks of the cool night air until his breathing was more nearly normal and his throbbing head stopped spinning. Then he turned once more to the unconscious man. "What a fighter," he thought admiringly. "What a man." But he couldn't linger here too long. There was still the all-important business at the ranch house. He saw a horse standing just outside the bunkhouse. There was a blanket roll strapped behind the saddle, and saddlebags had bulged. He glanced toward the ranch house, but saw no sign that anyone had heard the fight. "Even if this isn't that man's horse," he decided, "it will have to do for the time being." He dragged the heavy form of the unconscious man to the side of the horse, and then, sparing his throbbing left arm as much as possible, hoisted Yuma across the saddle in a highly uncomfortable position. Yuma's head and shoulders and arms drooped to one side, and the cowboy's belly rested on the saddle and his legs balanced him on the other side. The masked man used Yuma's own rope to tie him securely in place. The man was going to prove something of a problem, but the Lone Ranger wanted to keep him to question him at length when he recovered consciousness. Already the masked man had been widely sidetracked in his plan to call on Bryant and Penny for a conference, but one of the qualities that contributed to his later greatness was his ability to revise his plans continuously to suit changing conditions, or to reject plans altogether and replace them by new ones. He wanted Silver near him now, but the stallion was far across the level stretch, concealed at the foot of the mountain. If anyone had been near enough to hear, he thought, the sound of that fight would certainly have brought them. I'm going to have to take a chance. He whistled sharply and heard a responsive whinny come back to him from the darkness. He stood tense and guarded, waiting for anything his whistle might have brought. But no one came. Pounding hoofs, however, announced the approach of Silver as the stallion beat across the grass. Still no sign of any other presence. The Lone Ranger didn't know then that the solid timber walls of the big rambling house where Penny and her cousins were faced by Sawtelle and his men were practically soundproof. The quality that made it impossible for the masked man's whistle or the noise of the fight to be heard inside the house likewise muffled the sounds in the house, so that the masked man did not hear the pleas and cries of Vince and Jeb Cavendish. Leading Yuma's horse with its unconscious burden, the Lone Ranger moved away from the lit bunkhouse and met Silver in the darkness. He fumbled in a pocket for a pencil, and then scribbled a hurried message on paper from a saddlebag, and tied it to the pommel of his saddle. He knew that some hard rider had already gone up the Thunder Mountain Trail. If it were in the cards for someone to find and talk with and perhaps release Rangoon, this would have already transpired, and Tonto's mission would be finished. "Now," he said softly to Silver, "go find Tonto." He slapped the white horse firmly, repeating the name Tonto, and Silver tossed his head and rushed away. The masked man made another quick examination of his prisoner. He found him still unconscious, but the pulse was steady and breathing normal. Assured that nothing was seriously wrong, he led the loaded horse to the ranch house, walked to one side of the building, and tossed the reins about a post. Then, on soundless feet, he stepped upon the porch. He felt in his pocket and found the silver bullet that Penelope had refused. It served to remind him that he owed the girl a debt that would be hard to repay. He must, he decided, catch Bryant by surprise before the old man could shout for help. Must speak quickly, reassure the man and make him listen to the purpose of the call. He opened the outer door without a sound, and then he heard Penny's voice. The girl sat between Lonergan and Lombard at a round table near the fireplace. Sawtelle was in another chair a little distance, keeping one eye on a red-hot poker in the coals, and the other on two bound men on the floor. Vince was whimpering like a beaten cur, while Penny looked at him with disgust evident in her face.
"I won't ever forget this, Cousin Penny. Honest to God, I won't," said Vince. "As sure as hell you're saving us from having our eyes burned out with that poker."
"I haven't signed this agreement yet," the girl replied.
But you will, you gotta. You know blame well that Uncle Brian's waiting for Sawtelle to take it up to him at Red Oak. Hurry up and sign it."
Lonergan dipped a pen in a bottle of ink and held it toward the girl.
"Here you are,"
he said suavely as he pointed to a line at the bottom of a long page of close writing.
"Sign right there, beneath the others, and then we'll sign as witnesses."
Penelope took the pen and tapped the uninked N meditatively against her small, even teeth.
"Just let me get everything straight," she said. "In the first place, if Uncle Bryant doesn't want to leave his property to us, he doesn't need to. He can make a will, can't he?"
Lonergan nodded and glanced at Sawtelle.
"Tell her," the bland-faced man suggested. Lonergan went into a lengthy discourse on the legality of wills that left estates to others than the blood relations, and told how there had been times in courts of law when those wills had been contested. "Bryant's one desire," he went on, "is to leave his outfit to someone and have no question about the will being valid. He wants all four nephews and you to sign to the effect that you relinquish all claims whatsoever to the Basin property for a consideration not described." Lonergan didn't make it as simple as he might have done. He seemed to gloat in the opportunity to air his knowledge of legal phrases and quote from his experiences as a lawyer in the East.
"Doesn't it make some difference when the signature is secured by a threat of torture?" asked Penny.
Lonergan smiled. "Of course.
If I don't sign, you'll use that red-hot iron on Vince and Jeb."
"No, that would be hard to prove," suggested Lonergan. Sawtelle broke in impatiently. "Hurry up and sign. We can't wait all night."
"One more thing," said Penny. "What about Wally and Mort?"
"Bryant'll get their names signed when we take that paper to town." Penny still hesitated. She knew everything was topsy-turvy. There were lies and liars on every side, and no one could be trusted. She wondered why all the cries hadn't brought old Gimlet from the kitchen. She almost wished that she had left when Yuma wanted her to go with him.
"Look," said Penny suddenly, "I've been listening to what you've said. Now suppose you listen to me for just a minute. I'm going to sign this paper, simply because it won't make a particle of difference to me. If anything happened to Uncle Bryant, I'd want no part of this ranch, as long as the place is infested with vermin."
Lonergan showed resentment at this statement and leaned forward to speak, but a glance at Sawtelle changed his mind. The smooth-faced killer held up a silencing hand. Lonergan relaxed. Penelope looked at Vince.
"You turn my stomach. I know very well that you and Mort have been scheming all along,"
she said hotly.
"You helped Rangoon kill those Texas Rangers. You're as much to blame for Becky's murder as Mort. You told him he had to shut her up."
Vince looked wide-eyed at his cousin as she went on.
"You're nothing but a little squirt without spunk enough to even look a man in the eye, let alone act like one. You've been whimpering like a whipped cur, trying to arouse a lot of sympathy with your crocodile tears. Well, I knew all along that you were faking. Now don't you feel like a jackass."
As Penelope warmed to her subject, all the bitterness of the past weeks found outlet in her lashing words.
"Maybe this is Uncle Bryant's desire. If so, it's all right with me. But I'm going to find out what's possessed him to turn on me. If it isn't his idea, I'll find that out too."
Then she turned toward Jeb.
"As for you, I'm sorry for you. You're a worthless dreamer. You might have been an artist or a writer or a poet if you hadn't been too damn lazy to get some education. As it is, you're not worth a plug dime to anybody, least of all of these crooks. As soon as they're satisfied that you can't help them, they're going to kill you."
Jeb squirmed uneasily in his ropes.
"You're little men, both of you, and so are your brothers."
The girl jabbed the pen into the ink and rapidly signed her name to the paper.
"You can have your paper all signed as you want it,"
she said, almost trembling with the white heat of her rage.
"Take it to Bryant, if that's what you're going to do, and tell him that as long as those kids are upstairs, without anyone to take care of them, a 6-in hand can't drag me from here. And as soon as Wally brings that woman he promised to, there isn't any power on earth that's going to keep me here."
She thrust the paper signed toward Sawtelle.
"Here you are, and have fun while you can, because pretty soon somebody is going to ask a lot of questions about those 6 murdered Texas Rangers."
"I'll take that,"
a new voice said. All eyes turned toward the door. A tall man with lean hips and broad shoulders stood there, a man whose hat was white and whose face was masked.
"Who in the hell are you?"
barked Lonergan. As he rose from his chair, a gun appeared as if by magic in the tall, masked man's right hand.
"Who is he? Where'd he come from?"
"How did he get here?"
There was a chorus of amazed exclamations. There were threats. You won't get away with this. You better drop them guns before we get mad. You won't leave this basin alive. But no one made a move of aggression. The Lone Ranger glanced quickly at the document, folded it and tucked it into the pocket of his shirt, while his gun remained steady, covering the room at large.
I gathered from what I heard that Bryant Cavendish has gone to Red Oak. If this paper is for him, none of you need worry, because I'll take it to him.
The expression on Penelope's flushed face was a mixture of admiration and resentment. She stared at the intruder, liking him instinctively in spite of herself. She couldn't understand his part in this grim drama that seemed to unfold on a circular stage while she stood in its center. Chapter 18. A Gambler Talks. The masked man studied Vince and then the others in turn. He could feel the electric tension in the room. The killers were motionless and silent, returning his gaze with crafty eyes, watching for the slightest relaxation that would give them the split second required to drop a hand and fire from the hip. The Lone Ranger knew this type, and he didn't underestimate them. They were expert gunmen who would kill without compunction. When he spoke, his voice was low, but every word sharp and distinct.
Something of a surprise to learn the three men who were wanted so badly by the law have stayed close by. You might have done better to have gotten out of Texas.
None of the men replied. Penelope watched the masked man as if hypnotized. Twice now he had arrived at a crisis. In spite of herself, she found that she was trusting him.
Of course you felt secure here, the Lone Ranger went on. You knew the Thunder Mountain would make a fine hideout in case any lawmen managed to get through the gap. You cleared out a trail and a campsite and then concealed it. You felt pretty safe, or you wouldn't have stayed here.
Won't you cut us loose? Pleaded Vince.
Where are the rest of the men who work here?
Asked the masked man.
They went to town, said Vince. Right after the burying, they made a sort of holiday of it. They'll be coming back, though.
The masked man turned slightly toward Penny, still, however, watching the others. He would ask later about the burial.
How many of those other men are wanted by the law?
I don't know, but the whole pack of them are crooked. They have to be. If they weren't, they'd get out, like Yuma did.
Yuma?
He tried to persuade me to leave here. I wish to heaven I had. I thought I could depend on Uncle Bryant, but now...
Penny broke off in doubt. The Lone Ranger, realizing that the girl could add a great deal to his understanding of the events, pressed her for more details.
There's time to talk later, she said.
No, talk now. Tell me more about this man, Yuma.
Penny explained how she had trusted her uncle in spite of all that had been said, how she had tried to account for his unconcern in the face of events by thinking that his eyes must be failing. Yuma, she explained, had tried to tell her that she was mistaken in her trust. Yuma had been fired at by Uncle Bryant, had fought with him, and finally had left the basin. She explained that it was Bryant's belief in Mort's thin alibi for murdering Rebecca that had finally showed her her mistake. And now the clincher was the paper Bryant had left for her to sign. The Lone Ranger broke in from time to time with questions that brought out the story of Rebecca and the children upstairs. Penny told him that she felt compelled to remain for the sake of the children until Wally returned. Gimlet, she said, was too old to take responsibility.
So you believe in Yuma?
Penny nodded, eyes bright with unshed tears.
I have to.
Last time we met,
the masked man said,
I offer you something you refused. I'm going to offer it to you again, and what I said still goes.
He reached one hand into a pocket and then dropped a silver bullet on the table. The men looked at it curiously. Penny glanced at it, then at the steady, level eyes behind the mask. For a time, she said nothing. Then,
it means a lot to you to find out who killed those Texas Rangers, doesn't it?
The Lone Ranger nodded.
Please, pick up that bullet. You might need it. Remember what I told you to do with it. You mentioned an old man named Gimlet?
Yeah.
Gimlet is dead.
The announcement was an obvious surprise to everyone. And to Penny, it was much more. It was a severe shock.
He was stabbed,
the masked man explained.
I was with him when he died in the bunkhouse.
But what was he doing there? He slept in the house here.
I don't know why he went to the bunkhouse, but that's where I found him. He gave me the name of the man.
Who?
The Lone Ranger spoke slowly.
He named a fellow you mentioned a few minutes ago. He said, Yuma.
I don't believe it, declared Penny hotly. Yuma was Gimlet's friend. Yuma was my friend, too. He tried to reason with Uncle Bryant, and when he couldn't, he left here. No, no, no. Yuma would not murder anybody. Least of all, old Gimlet.
Penny picked up the silver bullet and clutched it in her tiny fist.
There's got to be a mistake, she sobbed.
If Yuma didn't kill him, said the Lone Ranger, we'll soon know who did. In the meantime, I'll take this paper to Bryant to see what he has to say about it.
Lonergan, the gambler lawyer, spoke. Do you mind, he drawled in his cocksure manner, if I have a few words to say?
Well?
Strikes me, stranger, that you're in a hell of a spot right now, and you don't know just what to do about it. You're like the gent that had a wildcat by the tail and didn't dare to let go.
Go on,
snapped the masked man. Lonergan's lean fingers rested on the table and beat a soft rhythm. He spoke with an assurance that was annoying, to say the least. You've ravaged the privacy of this ranch and illegally entered a private home without permission. You've flaunted that gun in our faces and asked a lot of questions. You've stolen the legal form that isn't yours by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, it's none of your damn business what goes on here.
Do you have anything more to say, Lonergan?
Plenty. You can't stay here from now on. You don't know when the rest of the men will come back and make it hot for you. You can't prove any of the charges you've made or hinted at, or anything that the girl has said. Besides, I don't expect the law would listen to you while you're wearing that mask. You'd like to turn us all over to the law and collect some reward, but that would be downright hard to handle, because there's quite a few of us here, and you'd have to take us through the gap and run the risk of meeting our friends. You can't very well take the girl and the four youngsters away with you for the same reason. You leave here alone and will simply make out another form like the one you stuck in your pocket and have the signatures made all over again. When you leave, there's a damn good chance that one of us is going to drill you.
Penny thought she saw uneasiness in the masked man. She glanced from him to Lonergan while she too wondered what could be done. She wanted nothing less than to be left there with the killers, especially after what she had heard about Gimlet and Yuma. Now there would be no one to witness whatever might transpire.
"Do you have any propositions, then?"
asked the masked man. Penny saw the wink that Lonergan showed Sawtell. She wondered if the masked man saw it, too.
"Maybe so," the gambler said. "You seem to know a lot about things here. Now just forget what you know. Take off that mask. Let's see who you are, and then either join up with us or ride away and keep your mouth shut."
The tall stranger seemed to be considering. Penny wanted to scream out a warning that he would never be allowed to leave the place alive. He would be killed no matter what his decision might be. Lonergan went on.
You must have brains enough to realize you wouldn't be able to prove that any of us had a hand in murdering those Texas Rangers. Why, we could even prove we didn't do it by the footprints of an Indian around the place where they'd been buried.
So the graves had been found. The masked man added this minute detail to his stored-up knowledge.
Anyone can see that they must have been ambushed by Indians, went on Lonergan. Maybe old Gimlet, who took a message into town for Captain Blythe, had a hand in framing them for murder. Gimlet might have had an old grudge he wanted to settle with the Texas Rangers. He's been around here for a good many years, you know.
I admit,
the masked man said,
it would be pretty hard to prove who killed those men. But cattle stealing is a different matter. Furthermore, the law wants you men for other things.
Us for us, Lonergan argued. The law'd have to find us first. Us for cattle stealing. When we sell cattle, the brands are right. We haven't sold a head that hasn't had the Cavendish brand.
Penny felt the world fall still further apart when the man she had begun to trust said, "What if I join up with you?" Lombard and Sawtell looked admiringly at Lonigan, and more than ever appreciated his glib tongue.
"In that case, you split the proceeds like the rest of us."
"What about the stolen cattle?"
Lonigan shook his head. "Never can be traced here. We bring them down the mountain trail from the top of Thunder Mountain. We shove them in with older cows and run a new brand. We got a dozen brands recorded to work with. We keep the cattle here until the scar is healed to look old. Meanwhile, we take the cattle from the last batch up the trail and sell them. We don't have no trouble at all."
Penelope could see Lonergan's purpose. He was a gambler and playing at his game. He told everything that would occupy time, knowing that any minute some of his men would be returning from Red Oak. He was betting that the masked man could never use that information. She saw the tall stranger apparently considering the offer to join the gang. Why in the name of heaven couldn't this masked man realize what Lonergan was doing? Why didn't he come here with some concrete plan instead of bungling in to find himself so helpless, even though he held a gun on the others?
"You have a pretty well-greased machine for stealing cattle,"
the Lone Ranger said in admiration.
"As you say, it would be almost impossible for me to do much in fighting against you."
"That's right," agreed Lonergan. "Now put up that gun and take off that mask, and let's talk."
"Tell me first who I'm taking orders from, though."
"Sawtell."
The masked man shook his head.
"There's someone who's giving him orders. Who is that?"
A crafty look came into Lonergan's cadaverous face.
"You mentioned his name a while ago," Lonergan said, glancing at Penny. "It's Yuma."
Hooves clattered close outside the house. Penny felt now that there surely would be a climax of events. And she was right. The masked man's manner abruptly changed. He listened for a moment as the hoofbeat stopped. A trace of a smile showed on his lips. His uncertainty gave way to grim and vigorous speech.
"You've wondered and asked what I was going to do here,"
he snapped.
"Now you'll find out."
Something about the transformation in the masked man made Penny want to shout. She felt that her trust in him had not been misplaced after all. The Lone Ranger shoved the table back, then kicked a hooked rug away from its place on the plank floor.
"This house has stood here a good many years,"
he said.
"Before Bryant came here, it was used as a hiding place for army supplies when the Indians were bad. I've been told by a lot of old-timers that there is a vault beneath this floor."
Penny knew about the vault. The trapdoor in the floor that led to it had been hidden by the carpet, but now was exposed.
"That vault was also used to hold prisoners when it wasn't convenient to move them,"
continued the masked man.
"Well, it's going to be used to hold prisoners again."
Watching the men still holding his gun on them, he threw back the trapdoor with a bang. Lonergan's poker face changed. Baffled fury showed in his black, snapping eyes. Lombard swore and Sawtell squinted grimly while his lips compressed to a thin line.
"Get down there, all of you,"
commanded the masked man. Lonergan went first, very slowly, dragging his steps until the masked man prodded him hard with his gun after disarming him.
"You two can take those men you've tied up,"
the Lone Ranger told Sawtell and Lombard as he drew their guns from the holsters and tossed them aside. Despite their pleas, Vince and Jeb were hauled down the steep and rotting ladder to the damp, windowless vault, walled in by stone beneath the floor.
"At least untie us,"
cried Vince.
"Your pals can do that."
"It's unholy,"
cried Jeb.
"Gorsh, you can't put me in with them killers. This ain't the will of the Lord for me to suffer such company."
"At least give us a light down here,"
yelled Lombard from the depths. The Lone Ranger dropped the door into place and bolted it.
"It'll be hard for them to open it from below,"
he told Penelope.
"But just to make sure they stay there for the time being, we'll brace it."
The Lone Ranger moved the heavy table over the trap door, and onto this piled a chair. There were 5-foot lengths of firewood stacked near the fireplace. He took one of these 5-foot lengths and placed it upon the chair to reach to the rafter of the room.
"If they want to push their way out of that," commented the masked man. They'll have to push the roof off the house.
But Yuma, I know he isn't...
The Lone Ranger gripped the trembling hand of the girl firmly.
Please don't jump to conclusions, he admonished her. We're not going to take a thing for granted.
But everything else they said was true. That must be what they've been doing to steal the cattle. The stock here haven't increased in numbers a great deal. Lonergan told the truth about everything else.
We'll see.
And that horse that came up. Someone has returned from Red Oak.
The masked man shook his head.
No one's returned from Red Oak yet. That horse you heard was Silver. I sent him after my friend.
I'm here. Penny turned sharply and saw Tonto standing in the doorway. The Indian looked troubled.
I came quick, he told the Lone Ranger. There's plenty of trouble. Let me tell you.
The man in the mask nodded quickly.
Remember that bullet,
he told Penny.
Don't worry and take good care of those kids upstairs. You have plenty of loaded weapons here. If those men below make trouble, shoot a warning through the floor.
The Lone Ranger left the room and went outside with Tonto. Chapter 19. Announcement Extraordinary. Tonto was visibly agitated by something that had happened while he lay hidden in the darkness near the clearing. The Lone Ranger glanced over his shoulder at Penelope, on guard in the house, and then closed the door.
Plenty has happened, said Tonto.
Lone Ranger interrupted. Just a minute, Tonto. He looked toward the bunkhouse, still brilliantly lit, and then at his prisoner. Yuma was regaining consciousness and squirming about unnecessarily in his uncomfortable position. Could you hear what was said inside, Tonto? The Indian nodded, once more started to speak. Before you tell me what happened in the clearing, let me tell you about a murder down here. The Lone Ranger hurriedly sketched the recent grim events, making no effort to soften his voice so that his prisoner couldn't hear. He didn't mention the document taken from Penny, but he did tell about locking the killers in the cellar. Now, he finished, tell me, did that man who passed me find Rangoon? Tonto said,
That's right. He came to the clearing. Rangoon called to him, and he stopped.
The Lone Ranger noticed that Yuma had stopped squirming. He seemed to be listening intently to what the Indian said. Tonto explained how the unknown rider had dismounted and had talked for a few moments in an undertone to Rangoon. Their voices were too soft for the Indian to get the gist of the conversation, and he dared not move closer for fear of detection. The unknown rider had then untethered Rangoon's horse. A moment later, a shot was fired, and hoofbeats signified the fast departure of both horses, one ridden by the killer and the other led. It had been too dark for Tonto to distinguish anything. He didn't even know which man had been shot until he struck matches and identified Rangoon. When Tonto finished his narration, Yuma broke in impatiently.
Look here, stranger. How long do you figure on leaving me like this? My belly's fit to meet my spine.
The masked man, with Tonto's help, untied the big prisoner and slid him from his horse.
Are you all right?
He asked.
My head's aching fit to split. What in the hell did you hit me with?
You tripped and your head wrapped the floor.
Oh.
Yuma made no resistance as he was retied, his hands behind his back. He obediently climbed into his saddle in order to do so.
Who are you?
If I wanted you to know, I'd take this mask off.
Would I know you then?
I doubt it. I don't remember ever having seen you before tonight. Now listen to me. I'm letting you sit in the saddle so that you'll be more comfortable. I'm not going to gag you unless you start yelling. There are a few things I want to talk to you about, and you'll save yourself a lot of trouble if you answer my questions.
While he spoke, the Lone Ranger connected Yuma's feet with a rope tied to each ankle and drawn beneath the belly of his horse.
If you try to run away, I'll lasso you and you'll find yourself in a bad way because you can't get out of the saddle.
I ain't no damn fool, retorted Yuma in a sulky voice.
Get going,
said his captor. Yuma heeled his horse obediently and started ahead. The Lone Ranger rode about 10 feet behind, next to Tonto, whispering softly. Tonto frowned heavily at everything that was said, and tried several times to persuade the white man to relax for at least an hour and rest. The day and the night thus far would have been punishing for any man, and especially for one who still had a great deal of his strength and endurance to regain. "I'm going to ride into Red Oak," the Lone Ranger told Tonto, "and that's a good 2 hours in the saddle. I can doze on the way there. Silver knows the trail back there." Tonto countered with a comment, but the masked man explained that he was quite used to spending days and nights on end in the saddle, sleeping there quite easily. "Anyway," he finished, "I think we're on the verge of discovering who the leader of those outlaws is. Lonergan said it was the same man that Gimlet mentioned, but I don't think so."
"I was at the door. I heard the name Yuma."
"That's what Lonergan said. I think he lied."
"Who do you think the leader is?"
"I'm not sure yet, Tonto. I've been doing a little thinking while we've been riding." The masked man slowed Silver, and Tonto followed suit. Yuma continued on at the same gait. When the distance had widened so that it was unlikely the conversation would be heard by the captured man, the Lone Ranger outlined what he wanted Tonto to do. "Turn back," he whispered in a voice that was husky with fatigue. "I'll take care of the prisoner. I'll leave him in the cave, and then I'll ride on to Red Oak." He spoke rapidly, and Tonto's head bobbed, comprehension and approval of the plans. The man who rode uphill was one of the points the masked man emphasized. Slimy ground on the mountain, different from that of the gravel-bottomed gap. As he talked, the Lone Ranger kept his eye on the big cowpuncher he had captured. The level basin ended in steep walls divided by Brian's Gap. It was here that Tonto halted, lifted his right hand high in a parting gesture, and wheeled Scout about. The Lone Ranger watched his friend sweep across the basin on a back trail toward the ranch house. Then he turned, and in the light of the ascending moon, three-quarters grown, he saw that Yuma, too, had halted and was waiting in the gap. It took but a moment for the Lone Ranger to join the prisoner. Then the two rode side by side. After a period of silence, Yuma spoke.
"I can't get it to save me," Yuma growled.
"What's that?"
Yuma looked across the space between the horses.
"What in the hell's your part in things around here?"
"Why?"
"First you ride here like one of the killers. I figure you murdered Gimlet. You knocked hell out of me. Then you locked them skunks in the cellar."
The Lone Ranger liked the outspoken manner of the man.
"I reckon from what I heard, you ain't the gent that finished Gimlet."
"No."
"You're hunting the leader of them outlaws. Ain't that so?"
The masked man said.
"Stop here for a minute."
Yuma reined up.
"Take a look over there,"
the Lone Ranger said. Yuma saw 6 mounds of stone and earth at the base of a sheer cliff. A crude cross surmounted each of the piles, and he nodded grimly.
"I know about 'em. Texas Rangers, ain't they? I heard about the shooting. Then a couple of the boys said someone had buried 'em."
"Yeah, someone buried them,"
repeated the Lone Ranger.
"A redskin or somebody wearing moccasins."
"An Indian,"
the masked man agreed softly. After a thoughtful pause, Yuma said,
"That part of yours?"
"That's right."
"Uh-huh."
Yuma pondered further while the Lone Ranger waited.
"You figure I got something more to say?"
"Well, have you?"
"Reckon so I have. As I size it up, you're out to do for the ones that ambushed those men."
"That," said the other, "is the whole thing in a nutshell. Whatever else may happen, the most important thing to me is to avenge the men who filled those graves."
"You wasn't especially interested in shooting up some of the skunks that done it, though,"
reflected Yuma with a certain amount of regret in his voice.
"They can be picked up later."
"Not if the rest of the pack get back," they'll let him out, and then all hell is going to break loose till you and that Indian of yours are filling a couple more graves.
I'm interested in the leader of this outfit.
What about that pretty girl?
What about her?
Holy smoke, exploded Yuma. Can't you see the spot the poor girl's in? Or maybe you just don't savvy. She's got four cousins, and not one of them has the guts to protect her. Every skunk in the basin would like to make a play for Miss Penny, and it ain't nothing except in Bryant Cavendish that keeps him from it. You figure Bryant's the leader, don't you? Well, maybe so, but I'd a damn sight sooner he kept on ordering them crooks around and cattle stealing and selling them to see him jailed and Penelope left without him.
I was told the leader was a man called Yuma.
I heard what you told the Redskin.
Gimlet mentioned that name just before he died.
But that's a blasted...
Yuma broke off, leaving his speech suspended.
We'll push ahead now,
Lone Ranger said. When they were on their way again, the masked man noticed that his prisoner was deep in thought. There were furrows across his forehead. His eyes were half shut in heavy concentration.
You haven't told me who you are yet,
the Lone Ranger said finally.
"'Tain't none of your business,
was the reply. Yuma went on as if simply voicing the thoughts that had been broken by the speech.
Don't make no damn sense at all, he muttered. Bryant wouldn't let Penny get hurt.
The volume of his speech increased a bit.
Damn it all to hell and gone. I never seen a man like you. I bet by gosh you would drill Bryant if you thought he bossed the murdering of them Rangers.
Don't you think that would be justified?
Yeah. Wouldn't just take him to the law. You deal with him personal like, eh?
That would all depend. Unless I could find witnesses, it would be pretty hard to prove a case against him. I understand he fired at this fellow called Yuma.
The Lone Ranger saw the stream of water shimmering in silver light just ahead. Just beyond, he knew, was the cave.
Suppose, muttered Yuma, Bryant wasn't the leader of the pack.
Well, who else would be? Certainly Cavendish wouldn't let those outsiders run his ranch for him. And I don't think any of the nephews could pull such thick wool over his eyes.
Just suppose that what Lonergan told you was the truth.
And what was that?
That Yuma was the boss and that he had a hold on Bryant, and Bryant had to do what he wanted. Suppose that was the case, what would you do?
Naturally, I'd hunt for Yuma.
Bryant went to town. Now he couldn't have got back in time to have killed old Gimlet, then rid away up that mountain trail you mentioned, and drilled Rangoon like your Indian partner told you. Now could he?
If he went to Red Oak, he couldn't have been there and back in time. But we don't know that he actually did go to Red Oak.
But this gent called Yuma... Didn't Miss Penny tell you he was still around after Bryant left?
Yes.
So ain't it logical to think he might have killed Gimlet, just like Gimlet said, then rid up the mountain and killed Rangoon?
The Lone Ranger could scarcely suppress a smile at the thorough reasoning of his companion. He urged the blond man to continue.
So what are you getting at?
Me? I ain't nothing but a cowhand, and ain't been in here long. I ain't had much of anything to do yet. I ain't no way important to you. Now, if I was to tell you where you could locate this Yuma you're hunting, would you let me go free?
But it's Bryant I want.
Yuma became confidential.
You're wrong.
Wrong?
The other nodded.
That's what I said. Tain't Bryant you want at all. It's Yuma's the leader of the bunch. Just like Lonergan said.
The Lone Ranger took this announcement calmly. Yuma, having thought the thing over from all angles, felt it was vitally important for Penny's sake to keep this masked rider, whose resolute purpose was to capture Bryant, from doing so, since Bryant was the only living man who could protect the girl. He pressed arguments on the Lone Ranger using everything that Penny had previously told him in her uncle's behalf.
"The old man don't know what's going on about the place no more. He can't walk around no more, can't ride much, can't even see good. You're barking up the wrong tree, stranger, and I'm a-gonna put you to the rights."
The irony of it, if only Yuma, in the misdirected chivalry of his glib lies, could have known that it was he, and not the uncle she felt had proved faithless, that the girl wanted. But Yuma didn't know. He went on at great length.
"I'll tell you just where you can find Yuma," he concluded, "if you'll promise just to turn me loose."
The Lone Ranger agreed.
"Then cut the ropes on my hands."
"Whoa, Silver."
The ropes were cut. Yuma chafed his hands for several moments before he scrutinized the gap in both directions and weighed his chances. His own horse was fresh. The masked man's had already covered many miles. His rifle was still in its leather scabbard, his six-gun still in place.
"You," he said, kneeing his horse aside, "want to know where Yuma is?"
The tall masked man nodded.
"Well, you're looking right at him."
A gun leapt into Yuma's hand.
"I'd as soon as not drill you clean,"
he barked in a harsh, loud voice.
"But if you leave me to get away, you'll stay alive."
He spurred his horse with such force that the beast fairly leapt off all 4 feet at once. Another instant and Yuma was clattering through the gap away from Bryant's basin.
"Should have shot him," he thought. "I should have shot him, but instead I'll get away. Let him trail me. Let him spend a lifetime hunting me. It'll keep him off Bryant's trail."
Heedless of the risk, he tore ahead, wind whipping at his face and neckerchief. He thought of Penelope, and something choked in his throat. At least the girl would be safe while Bryant was alive. It was a heedless, crazy thing he'd done, but at the time it seemed like the only right thing to do. There were half-formed hopes in his mind. Hopes that he could circle back and reach Bryant, tell him what he'd done and beg the patriarch to provide for Penny's future happiness. Then he'd have a two-gun showdown with those men like Sawtell and Lombard and the worthless cousins. Kill them, as many as he could, before he himself was dropped. These were wild plans, plans that only a foolhardy cowboy like Yuma could concoct. He didn't know why he hadn't shot the masked man. Perhaps because he knew there would be others to investigate the Texas Ranger murders and the Basin Gang. No, murder would not have helped. It would simply have delayed the end of Bryant. In making himself the confessed criminal, the leader of the wolf pack, he had done the only thing that his simple mind could think of.
"Giddy up,"
he bellowed. And his horse lunged on.